Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. Bat Guano and Hate Speech.
Hello. Today I want to talk with you about something which gravely concerns me, and that is the corruption of our government and our police by Jewish pressure groups. I've spoken with you about this two or three times in the past, but the threat to our liberty is becoming more serious by the day, and we all need to be aware of what is happening currently. In brief, the Jews make up only 2.5% of the U.S. population, but they are smart, they are aggressive, they are extraordinarily well organized, and cooperate with each other at all levels in order to advance their own ethnic interests, and by cooperating have acquired a vastly disproportionate share of the power and the wealth in the United States. But that is not enough for them. They want everything. They believe that they're entitled to everything. At least the religious Jews believe that. And they're all trying their damnedest to get it. In the present Clinton administration, they have, for all practical purposes, seized control of the federal government. I can't remember when Clinton made a top-level appointment in either the executive or judicial branch that didn't go to a Jew. The latest Clinton appointment to go through was Richard Holbrooke, who even before he became the new U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, was part of the Clinton team in the war against Serbia. Just like practically everyone else on that team, Holbrooke is a Jew. Now the Clinton government, which has been using the CIA in an effort to destabilize the Milosevic government, has put forward its candidate to replace Milosevic as the president of Yugoslavia. He is the former head of the central bank there. His name is Abramovic, and he is not a Serb, but a Jew. There seems to be no end to it, nor any limit to their brazenness. Despite their control of the Clinton administration, the Jews do have some worries. They understand that they're not home free yet. There may not be many other people who speak out openly about the Jews the way I do, but there are a great many white Americans who nevertheless can see what is happening to America and who don't like it. Not every American is a brainless couch potato who cares only about ball games on TV and his entitlement check. There are many Americans who have both brains and a sense of personal responsibility, even a sense of patriotism, although they haven't found the courage yet to speak out. If anything happened to really upset this silent majority, well, anyway, this fairly large silent minority, if anything happened to take away their comfort or their sense of security, they could really become a problem for the Jews to worry about. Some of them might begin speaking out themselves, especially if I am still speaking out to set an example for the others. Things could snowball. The Jews could lose it all, the way they did in Germany in 1933, after they had gotten what they thought was a pretty good grip on that country. And they understand that, and they're taking steps to prevent that happening. The Jewish mass media, working in tandem with Jewish pressure groups, such as the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the Simon Wiesenthal Center, have been lobbying intensely for years to disarm Americans and to silence them. This is a concerted effort, a very tightly organized effort. Can you think of a single mass medium, a single big city newspaper, a single television network, a single national news magazine, which isn't in favor of more gun control laws and more so-called hate crime laws? Individual Americans are divided on the issue of firearms. Some are staunch defenders of the Second Amendment, while others have let themselves be persuaded by the Jewish media that citizens shouldn't have weapons to defend themselves. But the Jewish mass media are unanimously in favor of more gun control. The same goes for so-called hate crime legislation. whereas the couch potatoes have mostly been convinced that haters ought to be locked up. Many of them, in fact, already believe that racism is illegal, that anyone who uses the N-word, for example, has broken a law and can be locked up. Whereas the couch potatoes and the lemmings have been pretty well brought into line by the Jews, many thoughtful Americans disagree with the politically correct sort of law enforcement the Jews are lobbying for, where an offender is punished more for what he was thinking than for what he did. But the Jews, their media, and their pressure groups are 100% in favor of more hate crime legislation. And when it comes to taking the next step, that is, scrapping the First Amendment altogether and actually enacting hate speech legislation of the sort the Jews already have succeeded in having enacted in Canada, in Britain, and in many other countries, and which many couch potatoes assume already has been enacted in the United States, again, there is a major division among white Americans. The feminists, the homosexuals, the liberals believe that we need such laws in order to maintain domestic tranquility, that it is more important to keep people from having their feelings hurt by offensive speech than it is to preserve the freedom to say whatever we believe. But that's still a minority opinion. A majority of white Americans have not yet been convinced that they ought to give up their First Amendment rights for the sake of tranquility. But that's not for a lack of the Jews trying to convince them. On this issue, the Jews are still being cautious, whereas most major Jewish organizations still are proclaiming their support for the First Amendment. They are, in fact, solidly in favor of abolishing it. The Jewish media are using the same deceptions. They tell us that they are for freedom of the press, freedom of speech. But what they really are for is freedom of their press, freedom of their speech, not ours. They are for their freedom to continue promoting gangster rap music and producing films which propagandize racial mixing. But they are against our freedom to speak out against this propaganda, and especially against our freedom to identify the producers of this propaganda and to talk about their motives. Read carefully the way in which the controlled press deals with specific instances of what they like to call hate speech. My organization, the National Alliance, publishes leaflets and pamphlets and stickers for mass distribution. Some of our members distribute these materials to the public. None of these materials would have been considered hateful just a few years ago. They do not use pejoratives or insulting language, and they do not urge violence or illegality of any sort. They provide facts and express opinions about matters of importance to white Americans. They have information about gun control efforts and the people behind these efforts, for example. They have information about AIDS and its much greater incidence among non-whites than among whites, with a consequently greater danger of contracting the disease if one has sex with a non-white. They have information about the immigration crisis in the United States. One of the pamphlets we have distributed most widely is a documentary report on the control of the news and entertainment media in America. It's a report with the names and holdings of the top media bosses. We write, publish, and distribute these materials because we believe that the information and ideas in them are vitally important and need to be seen and thought about by all white Americans. But the controlled mass media routinely refer to these publications as hate literature, not just sometimes, but always. You cannot read a news story in any mainstream newspaper about our publications without seeing the word hate at least a dozen times. Another item we distribute widely is the catalog of books offered by National Vanguard Books, the sponsor of this program. This 80-page catalog offers some 700 books and tapes, ranging from Aesop's Fables and Virgil's Aeneid to Friedrich Nietzsche's Thus Spoke Zarathustra. It also offers a number of very hard-to-find books, such as The Protocols of Zion, which is certainly of historical interest, regardless of what one's personal opinion is of its contents. And yet this entire book catalog also is routinely denounced by the Jewish media and by Jewish organizations as hate literature. And the controlled media always use the word hate in referring to our publications, not just because they don't like or agree with our books and other materials, but because they are trying deliberately to condition the public, really to brainwash the public by forming the association in the public's mind between any officially disapproved or politically incorrect publication and the ideas of hate and violence and illegality. They attempt to frighten the public deliberately, and with a substantial portion of the public, it works. We will, for example, distribute a number of copies of our documentary pamphlet on the ownership and control of the news and entertainment media in the United States. We'll hand them out to shoppers in a mall, or we'll mail a few thousand of them to the residents of a community, or we may even place them on the windshields of parked cars. The controlled media invariably will report such a distribution of our material in the following way. Quote, residents of Centerville have been alarmed by finding hate pamphlets in their mail. Mrs. Alvin Jones of 100 Main Street reported to the police that she had received in the mail a hate pamphlet published by the National Alliance, which claims that Jews exercise a disproportionate control of the news and entertainment media in the United States. The police are investigating the matter. Because the hate pamphlets were distributed by mail, the FBI also has been notified. An FBI spokesman told this newspaper that, unfortunately, there is nothing the FBI can do to stop such distributions under existing laws. End quote. Often the newspaper will then put a little more spin on the story by printing a statement from one of the Jewish pressure groups I mentioned earlier, and that statement will describe our documentation of Jewish media control as a myth and will suggest that pamphlets like ours are responsible for violent and illegal activity. If you read newspapers at all, I'm sure you've read a dozen such stories. Now, probably Mrs. Jones was alarmed, and probably she did call the police. That's what she's been conditioned to do by reading such stories herself. She believes that that's what any good citizen should do when he or she spots a pamphlet which seems to be politically incorrect. Report it to the police. She probably has a fuzzy notion in her mind that distributing such pamphlets is illegal. The media certainly do nothing to discourage that notion, except to suggest that existing laws are inadequate, that if we had adequate laws, then the FBI could arrest anyone who distributes such pamphlets, and the local police could lock up anyone caught alarming citizens with such material. I mean, really, think about it. If in the past you haven't noticed the sort of calculated fear-mongering I've just described, then pay close attention to the wording and the tone of the next news report you see about the distribution of National Alliance materials. Analyze the story, and I'm sure you'll understand what the newspaper is trying to do. Well, that's only part of the threat to our liberty, which I mentioned at the beginning of this program. In addition to persuading the couch potatoes that politically incorrect speech either is illegal or ought to be illegal, the Jewish media and the Jewish pressure groups also are conditioning police and other local authorities in the same way. Did you ever see the Stanley Kubrick film, Dr. Strangelove? If you didn't, you should. It's an old film, a satirical film made in 1964. But it's also the funniest film I've ever seen. and I guess I've watched it a dozen times. Stanley Kubrick really was cut from quite different cloth. He was unlike any other Jewish film director in Hollywood. Anyway, if you've seen Dr. Strangelove, you'll certainly remember a delightful character in the film named Colonel Bat Guano. Toward the end of the film, when Peter Sellers, in his role as a Canadian Air Force officer, is desperately trying to telephone Washington with the information needed to head off an imminent doomsday nuclear war, Colonel Bat Guano, as a stereotypically pig-headed authoritarian, refuses to let the Canadian officer make his telephone call. To Colonel Guano, the Canadian is not to be trusted because he wears a funny uniform and has a British accent. Furthermore, the Canadian wants to break a few rules in the emergency situation, such as taking coins from a Coke machine in order to get his call through to the Pentagon war room. Colonel Guano is outraged by such irregularities and never does understand the situation. The Canadian officer finally makes his telephone call, but by then it is too late to avert doomsday. Anyway, the reason I bring Colonel Guano into the program now is that he is a wonderful embodiment of traits all too often found in military and police officials. Cops look up to authority figures and to institutions with an aura of authority. They believe what they see on television. They don't question it. They are likely to be indignant and hostile toward anyone who does question it. They don't like people who rock the boat or have a different view of things. They are strong on conformity and a bit weak on basic principles and on logical consistency. Certainly, this isn't true of all cops or all military officers, but the tendency is definitely there. The subliminal propaganda messages in the media find a receptive audience among cops. And then Jewish organizations such as the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, the ADL, come along and offer to help the cops decide who are the good guys and who are the bad guys in this dangerous and confusing new age of multiculturalism and terrorism we are entering. Most local cops are a bit confused about this whole new category of so-called hate crimes the Jews have pushed through various legislative bodies in this country. 20 years ago, the whole concept of hate crime was unknown. The Jews invented it, and they are the self-appointed experts on it. Domestic terrorism also was virtually unknown in America 20 years ago, and the Jews also have appointed themselves experts on that. The Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, and similar Jewish organizations always are described by the mainstream media as respected human rights organizations. And so they have an air of authority when they approach the police with offers of help. What this means is that when an ADL official shows up at the local police chief's office in an expensive suit, accompanied by the Gentile mayor and a couple of other local politicians who are in the Jews' pocket, and offers to provide training seminars for the local cops on dealing with hate crimes and domestic terrorism, the Colonel Bat Guano element in the chief's personality kicks in. He doesn't question the ADL's motives. He just learns to despise the people the ADL tells him to despise, the people who aren't marching in lockstep with the lemmings. He learns to turn to the ADL for advice whenever any question comes up about dealing with dissidents, a sort of quasi-official relationship between the police and the ADL develops. And this is really horrifying when you think about what the ADL is. It is an organization which has been involved in large-scale criminal activity of a sort which ought to put everyone concerned about our freedom on red alert. The ADL has been caught red-handed in the theft of confidential police files on a huge scale, files on more than 12,000 persons in California alone. The ADL has had its offices raided in California by police teams armed with search warrants to recover these stolen files. The ADL has bribed police and other public officials to gain illegal access to confidential information, driver's license information, credit card information, and so on tens of thousands of American citizens. It has passed on some of this information to foreign governments, and this has resulted in Americans being arrested and imprisoned by foreign governments when they travel abroad. The ADL also has close ties to other Jewish criminal organizations. In 1985, the ADL gave its annual so-called Torch of Liberty Award to the notorious Jewish organized crime boss, Mo Dalitz, who at that time was the underworld godfather of Las Vegas. The ADL gave its award to Mo Dalitz at a black tie banquet because he had funneled millions of dollars in criminal loot into the ADL's treasury. And it's not that the ADL didn't know what Dalitz did for a living or where the money came from that he gave to the ADL. Before Dalitz moved to Las Vegas, he was the boss of the notorious Purple Gang in Detroit, an all-Jewish gang involved in smuggling, white slavery, and contract murder. Although Mo Dalitz was killed in a gang shootout with rivals in 1989, the ADL has cozy relations with plenty of other Jewish gangsters. The fastest-growing organized crime operation in the United States today is the Organizatsiya, which consists entirely of Jews from the former Soviet Union. The Jewish media, of course, never mention that it is a Jewish organization. They call it the Russian Mafia. But it is, in fact, the biggest, the best organized, the most ruthless and violent criminal organization in operation today. And it is the most dangerous criminal organization to ordinary Americans. It steals such huge sums of money that it could even pose a threat to the American economy. It has ties to the Clinton administration and to the Democratic Party. And now it is trying to gain ties through the ADL to the American law enforcement agencies which are charged with fighting against it. The Organizatsiya is positioning itself to be the criminal organization of the New World Order. It intends to suck the blood out of the U.S. economy the same way it has sucked the blood out of Russia. Police agencies everywhere should understand what and who the real threats to law and order are. But they are being conditioned now to not understand these things. They're being conditioned to regard anyone who publicizes the Jewishness of Jewish organized crime, me for example, as the threat, rather than the Jewish organized crime itself. It was bad enough having the ADL, the media, and the Washington politicians in cahoots when police agencies and Jewish organized crime enter the coalition, we're in real trouble, all of us. And that's what's happening now under the guise of fighting so-called hate crime. Thanks for being with me again today.